Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you here today as we gather for worship. And for some, a long weekend. For others, it's not. But it's good to have you here as we gather for worship. If you're visiting here, we extend a special welcome to you. And if it is your first time here, we ask that you fill a welcome card out that you'll find in the pew rack in front of you. We ask that you place the card in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is the room directly behind the sanctuary. You'll note on the back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week, and I'm not going to read it to you, but just call your attention to it, let you know what's going on this week. Also, there are a couple inserts in the bulletin. It is spring, and we've got a lot of things coming up. First, the yellow one is the Church World Service Blanket Program. If you'd like to give a $5 gift in honor or in memory of a loved one for Mother's Day, you're invited to fill this out for $5 for each gift. You may do that. This will be in the bulletin the next couple Sundays. Also, the Church Council has decided that they would like to, again, honor a layperson of the year this year. And so we are seeking your nominations, and we invite you to, we'll be having this in the bulletin the next couple weeks as well, to name the person, but also include some reasons why you think this person should be named layperson of the year for this year. So inviting you to do those things. As I announced last week, there are special offering envelopes at the doors for those who would like to make a contribution to the American Baptist Women's Ministry's White Cross request to support the ministry of Terry and Tom Myers in Bulgaria. And they're so just wanting to let you know, some have already done that. If you'd like to make a gift, we're hoping that the women are putting forth a $200 match. So we're hoping that the congregation will raise at least $200 so the women can then offer their $200 as well to double that. So those offering envelopes are at the side doors. Also, Marilyn Glover has tickets to the Refugee Immigration Ministry International Concert, which will be held this coming Wednesday, April 20th, at 7 in the evening at St. Paul's Episcopal Church. The tickets are $15, and students are free. And if you're interested in attending, it's been held for several years now. It's usually a wonderful concert. If you'd like to attend, please see Marilyn after the service today. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the blue hymnal to selection number 98 for our responsive call to worship. We will be reading responsively from Psalm 121. So let us read responsively from God's holy word this morning. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from?
My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
He will not let your foot slip. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord watches over you.
The Lord is your shade on your right hand.
The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night.
The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life.
The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
On this first Sunday that seems like spring, yes, I am going to have us sing a Christmas carol. But it's past tense. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, so reflecting backwards, there is a reason for us singing this. Also, I didn't get to hear you sing any Christmas carols this past year, so I want to hear you sing as well. So the opening hymn is 195, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. Please note we're singing verses 1, 3, and 4 only. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of life and light and love and peace, you have created us and you care for us and you forgive us. When we wonder how we can go on, you remind us that you watch over us and that you neither slumber nor sleep. When questions fill our minds and we do not know where to turn, you help us to remember your love and caring are always present in abundance. Today, may we trust in your promises and your mercy so that we may worship you with joy and with confidence. We ask this all in Jesus' name, and now pray as he taught, as we say aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May be seated. I invite any other children who are sitting farther back in the sanctuary to come forward for our moments together. Good morning. Good to see you. You sound very sleepy this morning. Are we sleepy? So some are a little sleepy, but it's good to see you here this morning. Have you ever fallen asleep someplace other than at home in bed? And you got in trouble for it. Maybe in the car or at school. I was going to say maybe at school, yeah. So most of us have fallen asleep, whether we want to admit it or not, someplace, you know, where we weren't supposed to be falling asleep. Did you know that people fall asleep in church, too? That was you, too? Okay. This is good confession time, folks. A lot of people have, too. In fact, a long time ago, in the early years of our church, there was a person who had a special job, and his job was called a beadle. And he had a special piece of equipment. I want to get it for you. Choir can't see. I'll bring it over. Can they see if I bring it over here? And so the man would go up and down the aisle. If he saw a woman beginning to nod off, he'd tickle her under the chin. If he saw a man beginning to sleep, he'd bop him on the head because they wanted to keep people awake. Now, I have to admit, I've heard people snore in some of the worship services. You know, they've really gone to sleep. We don't have a beetle anymore that carries this, but we do keep this. We have this on hand, but we don't use it anymore. But it was important to keep people awake. Jesus talked to us, told his disciples, and we have it in the Bible, about staying awake. In fact, several times we see it in the Bible. We see instructions to stay awake. Not just not to fall asleep at the wrong times, but also to be awake, to look for Jesus and to listen for Jesus and to be following him. And so that's what we need to be doing. So the next time you find yourself falling asleep, whether it's here, at school, in the car, and if you begin to get in trouble, just realize you've got a lot of good company. In fact, I'll tell you, the Bible tells a story, and that's what I'm preaching on this morning. A young man was listening to the Apostle Paul teaching, and he was sitting in a window, because the room was full. And guess what? He fell asleep, and he fell out the window. 3 flights up. That was dangerous for falling asleep. He died. But the Apostle Paul went out, laid on him, and with the Holy Spirit had the power and brought him back to life. So that may not happen every time. So we can't just assume that the next time we fall asleep in a dangerous situation that, you know, someone's going to be there and is going to be able to bring us back to life. So we need to be careful. But it's important to think about we need to be awake and listening, following Jesus. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, we confess, we admit that sometimes we do fall asleep because we're tired. Sometimes we're bored. Sometimes we're not interested in what's going on around us, or it's just warm and cozy and we just nod off. But Lord, we pray, oh God, that we may be awake when we need to be, that we may be awake looking for and listening for Jesus and helping to spread the good news of his love with others. We ask this all in his name. Amen. You may go to your class. As we come to a time of prayer, we have an opportunity of sharing celebrations and concerns with one another. We want to continue to remember Peggy Blum as she continues to recuperate from a fall she had a couple weeks ago. Eleanor Covey is back with us. I'm glad that Eleanor's feeling well enough to be back and you know, said you're not in a lot of pain, and so I'm glad to hear that. And Delphine's back with us too, so it's good that you're feeling well enough to be here as well. We've had a lot of folks that have fallen in recent months, so it's good that you're beginning to get better. I asked Joe McCurry this morning for an update on his brother David, who has cancer in his lung and he's having immunotherapy. He's had a second treatment this past Tuesday and has seen results of things that are going on. So we want to continue to remember David McCurry in prayer as he is undergoing treatment. We want to continue to remember May Upperman as well. May does have another diagnosis. The doctors have finally determined what they think is causing her inability to swallow properly. So she's going to be starting some therapy very soon and has not been able to eat much or drink much. So May has lost a dramatic amount of weight. So we want to keep May in prayer and has not been able to do much, hasn't had much energy as well. So we want to keep May in prayer. Obviously, we want to keep the Boston Marathon in prayer, those who are running tomorrow, but also those who were affected by the terrorist attack 3 years ago, and those all of those memories that come back. And we just want to keep the whole race in memory today. And we also celebrate that I think all of our winter traveling people, winter away people, are back now. The Huddies have returned from Hawaii, and Cindy's in the choir, so it's good to have all of those who were away for the winter have returned to the New England. It's good to have all of them back. Also, we want to remember those who have been affected by the earthquakes in Japan and Ecuador, and how, you know, I'm sure there will be resources going out to them very quickly as they begin to recover from those. Do you have, and it's good to see Phyllis here this morning, too. I saw it, I didn't catch that, so it's good that Phyllis is able to be here today. So any requests? Barbara. Barbara's five-year-old grandson, great-grandson, who has a heart condition, was born with a heart condition, has gone through one surgery and is having another one on May 12th to replace a valve. So quite a serious surgery for such a little boy. So we want to keep him in prayer. Eleanor. Okay. Eleanor's nephew, Patrick, is having bladder surgery for bladder cancer. So we want to keep Patrick in prayer. Anyone else have a prayer request? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up something that's been mentioned or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. All-powerful, all-loving, all-merciful God, it is good to come to your house this day, to spend this time in worship, in these moments in prayer. We thank you for hearing our silent petitions. We pray now that you would also receive our corporate prayers. Lord, we lift up those who are ill today. We've mentioned several who are undergoing treatment or recuperating at home. We've had several who have fallen in recent weeks, O Lord, in our church family, and we just pray for the continued recuperation of them, the continued healing taking place in their lives. Lord, we pray for those who are in mourning today as well, having lost a loved one, whether recently or whether it's been a long time, but the absence is still felt. Perhaps an anniversary is coming, Lord, and we just pray for those who are feeling that separation today, that may be filled with your spirit of comfort and peace. We think especially, Lord, of those who lost their lives 3 years ago at the marathon, and all those who were injured and continue to recuperate and rebuild their lives. Lord, we pray that our region may demonstrate strength where there was weakness trying to impose itself upon us 3 years ago, to show that terror did not win, that the people did survive, and those survivors, as well as the family members of those who died, bonded together to not let terrorism define who they are or who they will become. Lord, we also pray for those who will be running tomorrow. We pray that they may have stamina and strength to finish the race. We thank you for those who are raising money for organizations, too, that they will be able to accomplish their goals. Lord, the world is focused on Boston this weekend, Lord, and we just pray that, that it may be a fair race, maybe justly won. We also pray, O God, for those who have been affected by earthquakes in their countries, and most recently of those in Japan and Ecuador. And Lord, we pray for those who are responding to the crises and first responders, that they too may have the stamina and the strength to deal with the destruction that they will be encountering. We pray for the victims, O God, those who have died as well as those who have injured, that they may find peace and may be able to rebuild those who are surviving. We pray for the families that have lost loved ones. Lord, on this beautiful spring day, we are reminded of the empty tomb once again. In this Easter season, that death is not the final word, because Christ lives and reigns with you, that we have hope for eternal life. Because the grave is empty, we have hope. Lord, it's with that hope and the peace that Christ offers that we offer all of these prayers to you now. Amen. As we present our tithes and gifts this morning, we need to be conscious of what we are, what the dollars and the bills will be doing. We'll be reaching out into the world to share the love of Jesus Christ to those who are seeking him, as well as supporting this ministry, this mission, and keeping the lights on and the heat on when we need it, but also reaching out to others as they seek the Lord. The ushers will receive the morning offering.
Oh.
pray together. Merciful God, we are grateful that we are able to seek you whenever we need to. We pray, O Lord, that you would multiply these gifts and bless us as to make us wise stewards of these and all your blessings, that we may share the good news of Jesus Christ with others, those especially who are seeking you. We ask this in his name. Amen. You may be seated. Dorothy Latta is our lay reader today and will be reading the scripture.
Our scripture this morning is Acts 20, verses 7 through 12. Paul's last visit to Troas. On Saturday evening, we gathered together for the fellowship meal. Paul spoke to the people and kept on speaking until midnight, since he was going to leave the next day. Many lamps were burning in the upstairs room where we were meeting. A young man named Eutychus was sitting in the window, and as Paul kept on talking, Eutychus got sleepier and sleepier until he finally went sound asleep and fell from the third story to the ground. When they picked him up, he was dead. But Paul went down and threw himself on him and hugged him. "Don't worry," he said, "he is still alive." Then he went back upstairs, broke bread, and ate. After talking with them for a long time, even until sunrise, Paul left. They took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. May the Lord add his blessing to this, a reading from his word.
Thank you, Dottie. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard these verses from the book of Acts, the encounter in the early church, how exciting, how disturbing that was. Lord, how though that Luke included that it must have been a story that was told over and over again. And Lord, we must admit that at times we are like Eutychus, that we also doze off in church. Lord, we pray that this morning our eyes and hearts and minds may be wide awake, may be open to receiving a message from you that we may receive, that we may carry with us in the coming days. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. I asked the children earlier, and they readily admitted. So, have you ever become so drowsy that you just could not keep your eyes open? I guess I would bet that most of us, if we were honest, whether we want to admit it openly or not, if we were honest with ourselves, we'd have to say yes. Some of you may be feeling that way right now, in fact, but I encourage you not to do that. The Bible contains numerous accounts of people falling asleep. One was Samson. He was very strong and had defeated the Philistines. He was a Nazarite, a person who had been consecrated to God since birth and whose strength came from not having cut his hair. In an attempt to subdue Samson, the Philistines approached a woman named Delilah and offered to pay her 1,100 pieces of silver if she would find out what made Samson so strong. Delilah agreed, and she began to question Samson. And he offered several trick answers, never revealing the truth of why he was so strong. But after much perseverance on her part, Samson finally confessed his secret. And as he lay asleep, Delilah had Samson's head shaved, and thus he lost all of his strength to defend and protect himself from the Philistines. Samson's dozing certainly became extremely dangerous for him. In the New Testament, we are reminded of the dozing disciples who could not stay awake while Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Three times Jesus approached the drowsy Peter, James, and John, and finally Jesus declared, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough! The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going." Just think how those disciples felt in the ensuing hours. I imagine that sleep was the farthest thing from their mind as Jesus was put on trial and eventually crucified. And we come to today's scripture that describes a man who died because he fell asleep in church. Of course, that would never happen to any of us. This Bible story has been a favorite of many people, not only those who still try, who still sometimes fall asleep in church, but also those of us who try not to. As I was telling the children, in colonial times that churches employed a person called a beadle, and he had carried a pole like that. We might consider him like an usher or a deacon, and he would be roaming the aisles, making sure everyone stayed awake. Obviously, tickling of the feather by the whip for the women wasn't too bad, but getting wrapped on the head, I don't think the men would really want that, so it's like more incentive to stay awake. Thank goodness times have changed. I'm not sure our attendance would increase any if we had a beetle coming up and down the aisle monitoring the alertness of our worshipers. So let's look at today's scripture to learn the importance of staying awake in worship. The Apostle Paul was in the city of Troas, and after a week-long visit, he and his companions planned to leave. On the night before their departure, they met together in an upper room for a worship service that undoubtedly included Paul teaching and preaching and probably celebrating a meal together. A young man named Eutychus sat in the window as Paul instructed his listeners. And if you're familiar with any of Paul's letters, we know that Paul could sometimes be a little wordy and sometimes say the same thing three or four different ways in subsequent sentences. So I imagine that it was getting long. It was, he was instructing, and he was full of the Spirit, and he was, preaching. But it's interesting to wonder why Tychicus was sitting in the window. Perhaps the room was overcrowded and there was no other place. Perhaps a breeze could be felt from the position and it was more comfortable there. Or perhaps his attention was not entirely undivided. And the seat in the window gave him an opportunity to divert his focus if Paul's message failed to be of interest to him. Whatever the reason, he sat in the window, and Paul's sermon went on and on and on. I promise you mine won't this morning, so don't fall asleep. In fact, the sermon went on so long that Eutychus finally fell asleep and fell out of the window where he was sitting. And it wasn't like a first-story window and then he just fell to the grass right there. No, it was a third floor. Now, it's interesting to note that the name Eutychus means fortunate. The Latin for Eutychus is Fortunatus. But he was not very fortunate that evening. He definitely did not get away with sleeping in church. Maybe there should have been a beetle there with a pole poking him. And this is the only mention of Eutychus in all of Scripture. He's not mentioned anyplace else, not in any of Paul's letters, no place else in the book of Acts. Imagine realizing that the only thing for which you would be remembered is that you fell asleep in church. It's also interesting that to note that Eutychus is not only remembered for this, but the story mentions him by name. How many Bible stories have we read? And so, well, the woman here or the man here. It was important that the name was included. Luke could have told the story this way and said, one day Paul was preaching and going on, and someone fell asleep and fell out the window. But no, Luke identifies the man by name. My guess is that Eutychus became quite well known in the early church for his sleepiness. But not only for that, but for what happened next. This is a tragic story if the story ended there. The young man went to church to hear about God, and look what happened to him. He died. That's not incentive to have other people come and visit church, is it? If someone dies there. How would we feel if this happened to someone in a church service that we attended? Would we say to ourselves that no one could survive a fall from that height? Would we then become angry with God because we knew that that person would not have been dead if he had not been in that church service worshiping God? If he'd been someplace else, he wouldn't have fallen out the window. Some people might react that way. Probably the man's relatives felt this way. And they may have been very angry with God in the moment. Why didn't God pinch Eutychus and wake him up or wrap him on the head like the beetle before he fell out the window? Why didn't God cause someone to notice that the man was about to nod off and was in a precarious position? Why doesn't God stop bad things from happening to good people? Do you ever feel like God has gone to sleep? During the call to worship, we read these words of testimony from Psalm 121, which was also alluded to in our opening hymn. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. What do you imagine the people thought when they realized that Eutychus was no longer sitting in the window? Can you hear Eutychus' brother yell, "Where's my brother?" Can you feel the panic that spread through the room when someone looked out the window where the young man lay and cried, "He's down there!" I would think that someone falling out of their pew or perch during a service would wake more than a few people up. In fact, I think worship would be over for that time. At that point in the story, before Paul goes downstairs, but at that point, where this young man has fallen down and appears to be dead, anyone falling from three stories up would thought to be dead. Could you trust God or his son Jesus in a situation like this? Paul's been preaching about Jesus. And then this happens. Could you trust this person that Paul was preaching about? The Apostle Paul did believe what he was preaching about. He put his faith on the line. Luke records it this way. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "He's alive." Then he went upstairs and broke bread and ate. After talking until daylight, Paul left. And the people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. I can imagine that encounter, that event, spread like wildfire through Troas. And Paul probably told about it as he traveled too. Paul had never raised anyone from the dead before. He had never even seen anyone raised from the dead. But Paul believed. If Eutychus had not fallen asleep, we would not have this miracle in the Bible. So that may be your justification for dozing off at times. We might even be tempted to believe that God does not care. But the truth is that God can wake us up when we get lulled to sleep, even when we are in the Lord's house or doing the Lord's business. If we find ourselves tending to doze, perhaps not even physically, but emotionally or mentally or spiritually through apathy or indifference or the such, when we're trying to do the Lord's work, whether it's through worship, study, or service, then we need to wake up. If we sense that we're dozing, we need to rouse ourselves. Jesus taught, "Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come." It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. "Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." Now, I believe Jesus was not trying to frighten his followers into watchfulness. Rather, he was encouraging them to be vigilant in their ministry. Jesus was warning them that they could not sit idly by and let time march on. They needed to be doing the tasks that he was going to leave with them to do. The Apostle Paul instructed the believers in Rome, "The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed." Dozing can be dangerous, especially when it's done in church. The God who neither slumbers nor sleeps is calling us individually and as a congregation to action and saying, "Sleepers, awake!" Let's pray together. Lord, we must confess at times we do physically nod off. But more importantly, Lord, if we are honest with ourselves, we realize that at times we doze mentally and spiritually. We become apathetic. We may become indifferent to to the needs of others. We just tend to bide our time and go along with the crowd. But Lord, we hear you calling us to action, to alertness, to wakefulness. Lord, may this story that Luke found so compelling that he included in his story in the book of Acts, may this story become a symbol for us, not just to stay awake and worship, but to be alert for what you are calling us to do. We have the great commission to go out into the world, to spread the gospel. Now, some of us, Lord, may be feeling that we aren't equipped to speak, but we know that our actions are viewed by everyone. Lord, help us to not be dozing in our behavior, in our words, in our attitudes, but help us to remain awake and alert, for we never know when you will return. For we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is God of Grace and God of Glory, number 720. As we leave this time of worship, live each day aware of God's presence. Live in the power of the risen Christ. Live in the joy of the ever-present Spirit. As beloved children of God, live without fear. Live abundantly. Live faithfully. Awaken from your sleep and live. Amen.